And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. And the Buck and I are with y'all for the next 2 hours. On today's show, we will preview the Women's College World Series Finals. It's Texas and Texas Tech duking it out for the second straight year. Speaking of finals, how about the NBA Finals? The San Antonio Spurs look to win their first championship since 2014 against the New York Knicks. Game one tonight in the Alamo City. We will preview it. Carl Schoening will join the show as well to talk all things NBA Finals. We've got some Longhorn football conversation to get into. The latest on the Steve Sarkisian, Joey McGuire spat. Colin Simmons has sounded off about Ohio State. Little NFL conversation. And, of course, the BBK news and why today's not so bad as well. So much to dive into on a hump day edition of the program. We appreciate y'all spending some of your Wednesdays with us. How are you today, my man?
I am good. Feeling good. Had a nice day out at, of course, you know, we had a nice show out at Lake Cliff Golf Course yesterday. We played a little golf together. And when I got back, you know, it doesn't rain when we play golf. It just rains after we play golf. And boy, last night was something else. And it was different, you know, very seldom. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see it that often where we get storms that go from the east out to the west. It's generally west and headed east. And last night, boy, after we got through playing around 7 o'clock, 7:30, I could see it starting to cloud up this way. I started to hear thunder. And I'm like, well, generally it's coming from the west going east. Man, that thing came in, and the winds are blowing from a different direction. I mean, that seems like the first time all spring that it actually was coming from that way. Generally, it's coming over the top of the hill. This thing was going up the hill from downtown, and it was, you know, the rain was banging off the windows in the front of the house instead of the back of the house. So that was different, but we had a lot of thunder, and we got a good amount of rain yesterday or last night.
Well, you're the weatherer. You got to tell us how this works. You're telling me the storm was moving backwards?
For me, it is. For what I see on occasions from living up here, living in Dripping Springs up on this hill, generally I get west to east kind of winds, you know, and the rains come from the east, come from, you know, Allstadt Brewery, you know, across that way, across Blanco and hitting us this way. Generally, it doesn't come from the airport this way. But last night, downtown must have got it first, because it sounds like downtown got it pretty good. And then it came this way, and it stayed for a while last night.
It did. Reach out to our friends at Qualis Roofing. Want to make sure your roof is okay for the next set of storms, because it does seem like we've got a few more coming our way throughout the course of the week. So Qualis Roofing and Construction, they've got your back.
Yeah, you got after today, there's some percentage chances they go up into the 70s and 80s. And hopefully it's not daytime showers. It's mostly looks like it may be in the evenings, and that's okay with me because I sleep right through the rain. The rain doesn't bother me. It's that lightning that lights up the house that gets me. Right. For some odd reason, I looked over at my clock this morning and I woke up my wife and it said 6:30 on there. She goes, "Look outside, will you?" And I looked outside. I'm like, it's so dark out. It was like 5:20. And so in the time supposed to be back, why was it pushed up? It was really strange that it got pushed off. You know, my little fan wasn't going last night. I clicked it off and on. And then at one point when I do my one time to the bathroom at night, thank you very much, doctors over there, Urology Austin, for what you've done for me. I clicked on the fan and it came back on. So it was there was a little weirdness going on. The water coming from the wrong side of the house. It was strange, but it was good, boy. Once again, never complain about rain in Central Texas. We never complain about that part. But for you folks, I can go ahead and have it in the high 90s now. I'm all right with that. It was nice playing golf yesterday. That was warm enough, and it was a warm breeze. It was not a cool breeze yesterday.
You got a mouse in your pocket? I'm going to complain at times about really? The rain here.
Yeah. That was too. Yeah, was that too hot? Was no?
Oh, there he is. We lost you for a second, Buck.
You weren't you weren't too cold. I mean, you weren't too warm yesterday, were you?
Yeah, it was 90 plus degrees. What do you mean? I was burning up out there. So yeah, hot.
It was nice. And thanks to those guys, the Academy of Golf guys, getting a chance to meet with those guys again, seeing them. They're actually coming over to BK. They're coming over to one of their students while he's playing and asking him how he's hitting the ball. Those guys are good guys. That's good stuff out there, the Academy of Golf. So I would suggest if you haven't had a lesson, that is the place you want to go for sure. Good day to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you. We appreciate what you do for us. We always do. We appreciate your family sharing you with all of us. And do be safe out there, please.
Yes, indeed. Well, Buck, I was kind of hoping we were done with this story, but an update in the Texas Tech football saga that has kind of dominated the college sports conversation over the last week. Of course, dating back to Steve Sarkisian's comments at the Houston Touchdown Club a couple of weeks ago, where he called out Texas Tech, not by name, but everybody knew he was talking about Texas Tech, saying they had an incredibly easy schedule. Then last week you had Joey McGuire respond and say, yeah, you know what? We want to play Texas week one. We're going to cancel our game against Abilene Christian. We're going to try to get them to cancel their game against Texas State. We're going to meet either in Lubbock or in Arlington and play. Then you had Cody Campbell and their athletics director, Kirby Hocut, come out and say, spot the ball. And there was all this conversation going on all over the state, but really all over the country about Texas and Texas Tech. And how about this update to the story? According to Bobby Burton and the team over at On Texas Football, he reported, according to a source, and in direct contradiction to a statement made last week by Texas Tech coach Joey McGuire, the Red Raiders never received agreement for Texas State head coach G.J. Kinney to cancel their game with Texas. So remember, they said they reached out to Texas State, and Texas State's like, yeah, as long as somebody pays us, we'll scrap this game. We don't care. We just want the money. No big deal. That's what Texas Tech said happened. Now, according to Bobby Burton, this guy's very tied in, those conversations never happened. Texas State never agreed to back
out
of their
game. Hey, Joey McGuire, quit acting like Sorsby, will you? You're going to have to go to rehab for lying.
So, I mean, we've both talked about this being a total PR stunt for Texas Tech. I felt that way since the very beginning.
And it's a PS stunt. That's what it is.
It is a BS stunt. And, yeah, it's all the stuff that they said about having those conversations with Texas State and getting approval from Texas State
right
for the Longhorns to not play them in the season opener, all that stuff apparently a lie.
Yeah, I got a feeling they may have – their Texas State was thinking of, is there a way we can triple up what Texas was going to pay us and maybe we'll say to you, talk to us at least. They didn't hear enough money because that program could probably use every cent of money they could get. And if they could get Tech to do something stupid, which they probably would, then maybe they would agree to something like that. But Texas fans aren't going to agree to it. Texas administration won't agree to it. So it doesn't matter.
Never made sense for Texas from a football standpoint, from a fan standpoint. I mean, you don't want to give up a home game less than 100 days from the start of the season. You don't want to tell your season ticket holders, your donors, your fans that, yeah, no, we're going to scrap a home game that y'all already paid for, and we're going to go play Texas Tech somewhere else. You're not going to do that. Right. And the Longhorns are already playing arguably the toughest schedule in the country. You're not going to add another tough game to what already is a very difficult slate just for the sake of doing it because someone said something mean about you. So we've known from the jump that the Longhorns were never going to entertain this idea, but now it seems like this whole entire thing was a farce from the Red Raiders.
Liar, liar, pants on fire, Joey.
Pants on fire. And they are still fighting like hell to try to get their cheating quarterback eligible to play. Nothing to see here. Talk about how soft Texas is. We're not trying to skirt the rules or cheat. Also, you know, we haven't addressed the fact that our schedule is soft, which is what Steve Sarkisian was saying in the first place. Like, we're not denying that because we kind of know he's right. We just don't want to publicly say it. But, let's spin everything on Texas. Ignore what we've got going on here, even though our laundry is dirtier than anybody in the country right now. and just focus on them. And
yeah, they're now just saying to that kid, sorry, you can't play. We're not going to do this. We're going to find another way. We've put enough of our time and our energy into you, and you were still gambling when you were on our campus. Really?
Yeah.
Instead of doing that, they're going with, oh, he's something special. He put himself in rehab. He put himself in rehab because he got caught.
Oh, yeah. We all know that at this point. Yeah. That's part of the NCAA's argument against Brandon Sorsby. It's like this guy wasn't being a good Samaritan. He didn't just turn himself in. It's he realized that there was a ton of evidence against him. And he's like, well, how do I get out in front of this? What can I do to give me the best chance to be eligible in 2026? That's why he turned himself in. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. No official ruling yet. The hearing happened in Lubbock County on Monday. Now the judge is mulling over all of the data points from both sides before making a decision, but doesn't seem great for Brendan Sorsby there. But because Tech's schedule is so bad, which was Sark's initial point, the Red Raiders are still going to have a good year. They still have a very good chance to win the Big 12. As long as they get Will Hammond back at some point, which it seems like they will, they still have a very good shot to win the Big 12 and get back
into
the
college. Don't play anybody. Don't play anybody even in the Big 12.
And that's Sark's point. That's Sark's point. And then this turned into this whole charade from Texas Tech saying spot the ball. And we talked to Texas State, and they said we don't need to play Texas. I mean, the whole thing was a joke. And anyone with a brain realized this thing was a joke and a stunt. And I'm sure this report won't go national because it's not as entertaining. And no one really cares about the facts anymore. It's just, what moves the needles? What gets the most people talking? But I just wanted to give that development to the people who actually care and want to be informed.
Yeah, if they want Texas that bad, you want to switch that game, you need to say, we will come to your place and play, not anywhere else. Texas wouldn't do it anyway, but I would love to see it happen.
They won't do that. Texas Tech won't do that.
I know. As Joey McGuire said, hey, last time you beat us with your twos and threes and fours and anybody else, they would take the field that day.
It's so funny. The school that's always said anytime, anywhere, and the school that keeps saying spot the ball is like, well, anytime, anywhere, except for at DKR, Texas Memorial Stadium. Like spot the ball anywhere except for in Austin. Like, everywhere else is good. They're playing this big tough guy act, and really they're becoming the laughing stock of college sports right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you really show what you're made of. It's just saying, no, we'll play you at your place. We'll pay off Texas State. We'll play you. I mean, Texas still probably wouldn't fall for that, but at least show that to the people that you would be willing to give Texas still their home game, their original home game, and play them there. They're not going to do that.
Well, that's the great point, is this whole thing's a stunt, and Texas Tech knows that, and Texas knows that. Everybody knows that. So why not go out that game? Well, why not go out and say, yeah, we'll play you in Austin? It's still not going to happen, but it makes you look a little tougher if you say that.
It certainly does.
So it's like you're already trying to look tough, and you really want to look tough. Just say, we'll play in Austin too. It doesn't matter. We don't care.
No, that's what you're supposed to say the first time.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now, they missed their opportunity on that one to look even stronger or try to be even stronger. I don't know. It's ridiculous. I'm annoyed by it. I've been annoyed by it. But again, for people who actually care about the facts, which I think a lot of people out there still do. I'm sure Stephen A. Smith won't say anything about this. I'm sure the national college football people won't say anything about this.
No, this doesn't mean anything to them.
No. They've taken their shots at Texas, and they're not going to backtrack.
They were ready to hear the head coach of Texas talk about basket weaving. That's more exciting than talking about Texas Tech to them.
And they talked about this Texas Tech story. They just talked bad about Texas. They didn't say anything bad about the Red Raiders. So now it's like you've got a chance to say these guys were lying about this entire story. Pretty good story, I think, but I don't expect that to make the talk shows out there, the first takes of the world. So, there you go. Texas. It's funny. Texas Tech's playing for a national championship tonight, and yet they are it's like they don't even care. They're too busy trying to make Texas look bad in football that they're taking all the attention away from their really good softball team that's two wins away from winning a national title.
Last year, they got over their skis a little bit with their talking in softball, too, and that came back to bite them.
They do that a lot. They talk a lot, that fan base, that alumni base, and they haven't really won anything of note ever. So, yeah, keep judging meat. Keep winning those meat judging competitions, Texas Tech. Make your cactus emoji boosters real proud.
Yeah, I would say go ahead and win something first and then talk.
Ridiculous. All right. Well, speaking of Texas and Texas Tech, but game one of the Women's College World Series Finals tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN. It's a best of three series between the Longhorns and the Red Raiders. And it's kind of fitting with all this back and forth that's going on between the two schools over the last couple of weeks that this is the matchup that we get. Look, there's enough storylines on the diamond between these two softball programs to where this would be a compelling enough matchup. But, you know, because of all of the extracurricular stuff that's gone on between the two athletic departments recently, that adds a little bit of fuel to the fire. Of course, this is a rematch of last year's final where Texas won in three games. Game one tonight, game two tomorrow night, and game three, if necessary, will be on Friday. We'll get to some sound from Mike White and some of the Texas players here in a moment. But, Buck, I'll give you the floor right off the bat. Your thoughts and your expectations for this championship series.
I expect Texas to win the first game. I don't expect them, you know, like they've done before where they lose the first game and then have to play their hearts out. I expect them to really be ready to go tonight. I think they should be excited about playing. I think what you're going to see, obviously, they got to play better defense than they did the other night, which they will. I think they'll be better defensively. You know, they got to continue to hit the ball and pitch well. You know, Caban will be on the mound, 57,000 pitches or whatever it takes for her. It hasn't even taken that many. I mean, she's been so on the money. This should be another good series. I mean, these are two really good softball teams. And for them to face each other back-to-back years, which is a first, is it, right? That's the first time it's ever happened.
Yep.
This is kind of cool. It should be good. It should be good to watch. I know who I want to win, but it doesn't. For softball fans, this is just a good. This is good for softball. This is good for the ladies right here. These two getting together once again because they've had to go through a pretty good gauntlet in order to get there. There have been a lot of good teams to get to where they are that have really played well this year, and especially in the SEC. Some of those teams that Texas has had to go through had some really good years, and they start and really has started to, you know, reach that peak, that crescendo at the end of the season, where to me, Texas, I don't know if they've actually got there yet, BK. It could happen right here in the finals.
Well, that's scary for Texas Tech if you're saying
that's what I'm saying.
Texas,
yeah,
that's playing its best softball, and they've just won four straight elimination games to get to the final series.
Yeah, I don't even know if they've hit their stride right now. You know, if they do, look out. This will be a fun one. It'll be another win, another championship for Texas. But I think it'll be fun anyway. I think this will be really exciting to watch.
I think both of these teams have hit their stride, and both teams took the path less traveled to get here. Right, Texas dropped its opening game in the Women's College World Series and had to go through the loser's bracket, winning four straight elimination games. Right. Texas Tech won its first game, but they dropped their second game. So they had to win three straight elimination games to get here. The stats were not on either of these teams' side, but they found a way to get it done. And here we go again. And I think my favorite part of the fact that this matchup is happening again, Buck, you know, normally I hate that the Women's College World Series is in Oklahoma City because normally Oklahoma's there and they just get such this ginormous home field advantage to where it's never fair for these seven other teams who qualify every year. The fact that all those OU fans have to watch for the second consecutive year Texas or Texas Tech win a national championship in their home state. Now, they'll be rooting for Tech, but don't get it twisted. OU fans do not like Texas Tech either. So that's the fact true. That it's one of those two, obviously Texas still a rival, but Tech a former rival, one of those two winning it all for the second straight year. Yeah.
Wouldn't Oklahoma fans rather – Texas Tech not beat Texas and it'd be Oklahoma at some time again. They don't want Texas Tech.
Well, I think once they didn't make it, obviously they root for OU. Once OU lost to Mississippi State in the Supers, choked, I think literally it was, okay, anybody besides Texas or Texas Tech, please. Like, we don't care if Bama wins it. We don't care if Tennessee wins it. Mississippi State. What, any of those other six teams that are here, they could win as long as it's not one of those two from the Lone Star State. And, again, for the second straight year, you've got the Longhorns and the Red Raiders, which is great. Which is great.
Wow. I love it.
That's a little sidebar storyline for me. How about some sound here? We'll start with Reese Atwood. This comes from postgame after Texas won their second of two consecutive must-win games against Tennessee on Monday, talking about the Longhorns showing some serious Texas fight to make it to the championship series.
I mean, it is the identity of our team. It's what Coach White has put into us all season, just fighting back from losses. And we came out of the loser's bracket after the first game. We fought so hard. We've had so many key players step up in different places, different roles. So, I mean, it's Texas fight. It's what we do, and we're going to continue to do going into the championship.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they don't really quit. Again, they had plenty of opportunities to fold both in the Supers and in Oklahoma City, and they haven't done anything close to that. Here's Katie Stewart. Remember, towards the end of that second game against Tennessee on Monday, she took that ball off the base right to the lip slash chin, had to leave the game in the sixth inning. Thankfully, Texas had no problem disposing of the Lady Vols. But here's Katie Stewart yesterday giving a little update on that injury, and also talking about just the confidence she has in this group going into the finals.
My lip's good. It's fine. It makes it look like I was being dramatic, but just playing with these two the last 3 years, like, we have full trust in each other. Like, we know what each other's capable of, and so there's never a doubt. Like, it's just when it's going to happen, like, especially these last few games with the hitting. Like, Tegan never lost faith in us. She just continued to say, like, I believe in y'all. I'm going to keep us here. Like, you can do it. And so just trusting, like, we are going to do it, and just having full faith in each other's abilities.
Yeah, I mean, during the course of this playoff run, this group up and down the line, somebody else comes through, you know, when it comes to batting and when it comes to pitching. It's just, it's been, everybody has done their job. Well, we know what Caban's going to do. We know she's going to do her job. But when it comes to what they've – now, once again, BK, you can't just have a bunch – you can't have a bunch of silly errors now.
Yeah.
You got to really play – you got to play smart against this group, because this group's really good at Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech's really good. I mean, they were really good last year, but it kind of felt like their strategy was just, hey, Nyjah, Kennedy, and Prey.
Right.
This year, they do have a second pitcher. Now, Kennedy's still their ace. She, I assume, is going to get the ball in game one tonight, and she will throw the majority of the innings for the Red Raiders in this series for as long as it goes. But Caitlin Terry is their other pitcher, and she's really good. In Texas Tech, their head coach, Jerry Glasgow, he's not scared to go to her in any situation. So both teams kind of have a number two. Last year, it was so much Caban versus Kennedy, but for Texas, Sitlali Gutierrez, for Texas Tech, Caitlin Terry, it's a little bit of a different series. On that note, here was Mike White kind of talking about Texas Tech's strategy this year with those two pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we took advantage of last year for sure, was the ability to wear them down. But, you know, that's not going to happen this year, I don't think. It seems like the temperatures are going to cool down as well, which should help everything in night games. So, you know, the wearing down won't too much of a factor. So we've got to be able to adjust quickly to their strategy of using two pitchers in a game. Or even in an inning, you know, so just don't know what Jerry's going to bring. But we got to focus on what we can control and not to worry too much about what they're going to do.
Yeah, see, I don't know all those different strategies in softball. I know I see a pitcher go in, they come back, they go out, they come back in, they go back to bat, they go play a position, they go out of the game, they come back two innings later. I'm like, how the hell do they do all of this?
It is confusing, right? Like, yes. You know, in baseball, you pinch hit or pinch run for somebody, then that's it. They're done for the game.
Right.
But in softball, yeah, you can pinch run for somebody, but then the player that got pinch run for is back out there the very next half inning.
Right.
So, yeah, there's some intricacies and rule differences for sure between the two sports. As long as the coaches know what the hell's going on, that's all that matters to me.
It matters, yes.
I don't even want to try to figure it out. But, yeah, look, last year it was all Nyjah Kennedy. I mean, she threw every inning basically for Texas Tech from the Supers to the game three of the final against Texas. And she wore down. I mean, Texas got to her in that third game. You could tell, I mean, that arm was about to fall off. I don't know how it didn't. This year, Texas Tech, they've got that second pitcher, which it makes it a little tougher to scout. And obviously, you know, the wearing down, I don't know if that's going to happen as much in this game. Remember, last year's game one, Texas won 2-1. It was the crazy moment. The Longhorns were down 1-0 going into the bottom of the sixth. And Texas put two runners on base.
Right.
Second and third. Nyjah Kennedy was trying to intentionally walk Reese Atwood. And remember, she left a pitch too far out over the plate, and Reese Atwood like swung and hit it into right for a base hit. It scored two runs and gave Texas the win. So, you know, game one last year, Texas won. It was a total pitcher's duel. I think we're going to see the same thing tonight. I think this is a 2-1 type of game. And Kavon, I expect her to be on her game. I expect Kennedy to be on her game. It's who can make that timely hit in that big situation. Last year, it was Reese Atwood in that opening game. Can she, or can Katie Stewart, or Leanne Good, or Caden Henry, somebody who makes the clutch plays? I think all of these games are going to be close. And that will be the difference between Texas going back-to-back or Texas Tech winning its first in program history.
That's why the defense has to be there tonight.
Yeah, I agree. Four errors, too many. Now, they escaped that one against Tennessee. Credit to Sitlali Gutierrez, and the offense did enough to put up five runs. But, yeah, you're really playing with fire if you're going to be booting the ball as much as they did on Monday. So we'll take your thoughts. We'll get into a little more softball conversation, but the Longhorns and the Red Raiders for the second straight year duking it out for college softball supremacy.
I wonder who has the speed in this. I mean, which team is faster? I know Texas has speed. You know, that those first four or five batters can fly. I mean, yep. They can go. They drop down bunts and beat out these little slappers, you know, like you were, a little slappy, hitting those little slap shots. They go.
Oh, no, those girls are all faster than I am, that's for sure.
When they get out of that box and get down that line in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not be used as a pinch runner in this series, I could tell you that.
No, I don't think so.
When I was in college, I would not be used as a pinch runner for either of these teams. No chance. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Coda text line, 512-222-9328. In a moment, we will be joined by Carl Schoening, who's the Spurs Radio Network studio host and also a host on the Ticket 760 in San Antonio. We will preview game one of the NBA Finals. But before we talk a little Spurs basketball, how about our first round of sponsor shout-outs?
Right. I didn't get a chance to get the Hat Creek Burger yesterday because we were up out west, and there's no Hat Creek Burger that way. They need to get that going too here shortly, get a Hat Creek Burger Company out there towards Horseshoe Bay. The Hat Creek Burger Company is a place, folks, good food, good folks, good fun. It's just that simple. Hat Creek is proud to be a place where you can come in hungry and leave full. 30 locations throughout the state of Texas. Great hamburgers, fries, and shakes. Could have used one of that. Should have used a little bit more water yesterday, too, there, BK. Maybe I could have got a nice glass of water from Hat Creek Burger because I was a little dehydrated on the way back. But you know what? If I had to have one of those big hats with fries, I would not have been hungry yesterday, that's for sure. And folks, you can get it done too. While the kids are at the playground, mom and dad, you can enjoy yourself a margarita while the kids are at the playscape. Hat Creek Burger Company, there's something for everyone.
Yes, indeed. Love Hat Creek Burger Company. Go to hatcreekburgers.com to find a location near you and to place an online order. Also, SentexTickets.com. If you're looking for tickets to any sporting event, I mean, if you want to get up to Oklahoma City to catch one of these softball games, you can find tickets at SentexTickets.com. Of course, the Austin Super Regional for Texas baseball will get going on Saturday. You want to catch a game at the dish? SentexTickets.com. Austin FC still in season. The World Cup coming to Dallas and Houston in the not too distant future. Oh, yeah, the NBA Finals, Centex Tickets, they've got everything, plus concerts and comedy shows and festivals and Broadway shows. Any live event coming our way, you can find tickets online, CentexTickets.com. Just log on from your phone or your computer, super easy to use, and don't forget to use the promo code CentEx10. If you type that in at checkout, you're going to instantly receive 10% off of any ticket purchase from our great friends at CentexTickets.com.
And folks, you've heard us talk about our friend Matt King and his 2,000-mile journey from Mexico to Canada with one mission, raise $1 million and give it directly to communities who need it the most. He is doing just that. And we love that guy. We love what he's doing for not only the state of Texas, but for what he's doing for America. I mean, he's going to go face-to-face with folks that are in need, and he's going to raise $1 million and give $1 million away. Please go to therideproject.com and give if you can. He wants to continue to give that money away. He's going to give it all away. No matter what he has, he's giving away. So you can continue his journey, a 2,000-mile bike ride. Please tell me he's out of the state of Oklahoma now. He's got to be out of there by now.
He's up in Kansas.
Up in Kansas?
The Sunflower State.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just head to theRideProject.com, folks, for more information.
That's been fun to follow along. Check out their Instagram. Check out their YouTube. I mean, they're vlogging this entire journey, doing some really cool interviews with people they're giving this money away to. And, God, I don't, it's ridiculous. 2,000 miles. I would have turned around after Round Rock. But
after it rained one time, that would have been it for you.
That would have been it for me. I don't care if it rained or not. I ain't going that far. It's too much for me. Thankfully, people like Matt King exist in this world. Yeah. Shout out to him. And a real quick shout out to our friends at the Altstadt Brewery, the best beer in the world. Just talked about all the great sporting events happening. We're like mired in one of the best 2 to 3 week stretches of the sports year. People usually think like, June, there's not a whole lot going on this summertime, whatever. We've got the NBA finals. We've got the Stanley Cup finals. We've got the Women's College World Series finals. We've got College World Series getting started here shortly.
I got the Belmont Stakes on Saturday.
The Belmont Stakes. We've got the World Cup right around the – there's a lot of great sports happenings, which means there's a lot of great beer drinking opportunities.
There you go.
My beer of choice is Altstadt beer. It should be yours as well. Brewed locally in Fredericksburg. Easy to find, available wherever you buy your beer, all across the great state of Texas. Grocery stores, liquor stores, your bars, your restaurants, wherever you go, get you some Altstadt. They've got a bunch of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. No additives, no sugars, no unnecessary ingredients like you find in some other beers. Altstadt is clean, it's crisp, it's refreshing, and you're going to enjoy it. I'm telling y'all, one sip and you won't go back to the other beers you've been drinking in the past. Please remember to drink your Altstadt responsibly. It's the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities. No regrets. All right. Game one of the NBA Finals is tonight in San Antonio. And joining us now to preview tonight's game and the entire series between the Spurs and the Knicks is Carl Schoening, Spurs Radio Network studio host and a host on the Ticket 760 in San Antonio. Carl, thanks for the time again, my man. How are you today?
Oh, you know, this is what you wait all season for. When you find out that your team is a contender, you hope that they get this far. And when they do get this far, it has excitement levels that make the day feel really long. It's going to be a long way until 7:30 tip-off. 7:42, technically, is the scheduled tip-off time tonight. But, it's going to be a fun one for sure here this evening in San Antonio at the Frost Bank Center. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, Carl, you know, a lot of folks talked about the winner of the West was, this is it. That was the championship game. But we know what the New York Knickerbockers have been doing, the way they've played, you know, 11 straight wins, playing a young Spurs team that hasn't really been there yet. How do they turn that thing off? I mean, how do you take the noise and just stick your hands over your ears and not listen to the noise about what it's like and you being in the West, and this should be an easy victory for you. They've got to be a mature team. Do they not, even starting out in game one?
Yeah, you got to land the first punch. That's been the Spurs' MO as a young team, is to get out on an early run. And when they do get out on an early run, they don't always hold on to the win. Game three of the Western Conference Finals, when they jumped out to a 15-0 run, is an example of that. But it is sort of their mindset is jump out early and then work with the lead the majority of the game, which especially in the sport of football, you like to go by that rule. And definitely in the sport of soccer, where scoring is hard to come by. But in the NBA, when the scoring is not as big of a deal to jump out to an early lead, that almost becomes the team's identity. And the Spurs are a team that likes to jump out early and then work with that lead. And that's probably what they need to do here. Is if there's any, the whole rest versus rust argument with the Knicks, hopefully there's some rust and the Spurs take advantage of it with the big run early. And there's plenty of games where you say you didn't win the game in the first quarter, but you can lose a game in the first quarter. And I think that could be a situation tonight where if the Spurs have a big enough first quarter, because the Knicks have had, I guess, depending on how you count days off, 10 or 11 days off, it's going to be something where I think the Spurs want to take advantage of being only played last week.
Spurs Radio Network host Carl Schoening joining us here on Bucky and BK. Yeah, kind of along those lines, Carl. You know, Victor Wembanyama during media day yesterday was kind of asked about like the potential hangover from that crazy 7-game series against Oklahoma City. Obviously, so much emotion showed on the court in OKC after that game went final. So many tears, guys hugging each other, guys crying. And I thought it was interesting. Wemby kind of said yesterday, like, yeah, we've got to put that behind us. Like, we're still thinking about that moment a little bit. And you understand it's a huge rivalry and dethroning the kings of the NBA. That's a big deal. But are you at all worried kind of in that rest versus rust conversation that the Spurs might be still riding a little too high and maybe not quite ready to go for this game one this evening?
I don't actually. This has been a very mature team. You go back to the 2007 finals when the Spurs were in their fourth finals with Tim Duncan, third with the Big Three, Greg Popovich, etc. And that media day, the Spurs came out, were very professional. They were loaded with vets. And then the opposing side was the first LeBron Cavaliers finals. And they came out with camcorders because cell phones weren't that good back then as a camera phones, and they were impressed by the hordes of media that came by. This was a very composed Spurs team yesterday at NBA Media Day. They seemed ready to go into the moment. And yeah, I think you still have to savor those wins. You have to enjoy those feelings. Hey, we made it to the NBA Finals, yet you can't let it consume you. And I'm pretty sure that this is a team that has shown that they know how to stay composed despite their age. And I think it is going to be a very much composed Spurs that you see out there. And I think Wemby said it best. There's still going to be a sold out arena, and they've been in sold out arenas up to this point of the playoffs. And it doesn't really change that it's the finals and there's the championship trophy on the floor.
Yeah. You know, Karl Anthony Towns has really looked a little bit different. He's been healthy this season. He's been physical this season. And between he and Wemby playing down low, there's a lot of nice bodies that the Knicks have. They've got some young guys, and it's a physical group. You know, those 6'4", 6'5 guys could go in there and bang around a little bit. They rebound. They're good athletes. They're good two-way players. That's going to be the fun for me. But for Wemby with Karl Anthony Towns, I think he's got a huge advantage over him. But for some of the other guys, Carl, what do you think for some of the other players on this team? That it looks like there's some pretty evenly matched young players on both sides.
Yeah, you nailed it right there, Bucky. As you start off with Wemby on the Spurs side of things, he's going to match up against probably Karl Anthony Towns. They might mix up their looks with OG Anunoby, maybe even Josh Hart guarding him occasionally. They're going to have a by committee with Wemby. But then once you look past Wemby, it feels like the Spurs might win a couple, might lose a couple, but overall it's a very even matchup. Jalen Brunson, I guess if you were to compare him to De'Aaron Fox, that's a lot closer than you might think, but Brunson probably does get the edge as somebody who's known as an MVP candidate, but we're not too far away removed from the 2023 season in Sacramento, where I would think that you might say De'Aaron Fox was better than Jalen Brunson in his first year with the Knicks. So, you know, that's 2023 is a little bit longer ago than I would like to admit, but it is still recent enough history that it's fair enough to say that that could even be an even battle by the time the series is done. But De'Aaron Fox still probably playing through a high ankle sprain. So that's something to keep in mind, even though that's not on the injury report. De'Aaron Fox pretty much said last series against OKC when he missed the first two games of the Western Conference Finals, that's just something that's going to have to recover in July when they're not playing. But then you go through the wings. Yeah, Mikal Bridges, he's a 15 point per game scorer. He is shooting a phenomenal, I think it's like 65%. It's in the 60s in the 2-point range. So he's somebody, once he gets to his spots inside the arc, good luck. He has arms that are so long, his elbows are down to his waist, and he can just, you know, use that length to finish around the rim and get past defenders, all the good things that you want of a basketball player. It's hard to explain him other than he is an Iron Man basketball player who I don't think he's missed a game since he was in Phoenix. And the one thing that I think you can say, I had this question thrown at me the other day, and maybe this is what comes into the difference between the Spurs roster and the Knicks roster, is who has the most pressure here? And I didn't have an answer when I was first asked that, but it has to be the Knicks. This is a team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year and fired their coach. And that doesn't happen too often. And they bring in Mike Brown. And Mike Brown goes down 2-1 to the Atlanta Hawks, and he's in the hot seat. That's just because New York loves to put people in the hot seat. But then you look at this group, and it's a whole bunch of players that have been in the playoffs several years, and they finally make it to the finals, and this is their chance. While on the other side, you look at the Spurs, this is their first go as a group, really. Last year, everybody, a couple players ended up being out for the season. They revamped with obviously drafting the second overall pick in Dylan Harper and bringing in Luke Kornet. And this is their first run as a unit, and they're in the NBA Finals. And the expectation is you keep this group together, they're probably going to go to the Finals again sometime in the next 2 or 3 years. So you have to think that the pressure is on the Knicks, and that might be the difference when you start to nitpick. Is Devin Vassell better than Josh Hart? You know, good luck winning that argument either way. But is this a bigger series for Josh Hart than it is for Devin Vassell? I would say most definitely.
Carl Schoening joining us here to talk NBA Finals. Carl, the obligatory Wemby question here. Look, I know folks in San Antonio already believe that Victor Wembanyama is the best player in the NBA. There's some folks down there, I'm sure, who believe that he's already the face of the NBA. But do you feel like this is his true arrival moment? Like, if he's able to lead the Spurs to an NBA Finals and win Finals MVP, is this like the moment where kind of the balance of the power has shifted and Wemby is the new sort of face of the NBA?
I think he already is the face of the NBA. Can't name me a better in the NBA. Sure, SGA won the MVP. Sure, Nikola Jokic averaged a triple-double and has the numbers. But you're talking about a player who I said when he was a rookie, it's hard to explain, but I think he's the best player in the NBA off of his defense alone. If you said you can't pass him the ball and all he can do is maybe just get offensive rebounds and putbacks on his offensive side, and then he's on the defensive side, he's probably already the best player in the NBA. And obviously that's not how it works. And it takes a little bit of time to get that respect, especially on the national media. But now that he's made it to the finals, I'm starting to see all of the steam pick up from something we've known in San Antonio probably since his rookie year, that he should be considered a top three player in the NBA, if not the best player in the NBA. And he has a lot of Tim Duncan in him. He very much could go out there and attempt to drop 30 points every single night, but he realizes that the Spurs as a unit can be better served if he is part of the sum is greater than the total of the parts. And yeah, I would love it if Wemby went out there and dropped 40 tonight and just demanded the ball the whole time, but he very much has bought into the Spurs culture, and it didn't take much convincing because he grew up a Spurs fan. So he saw this from his days being a Tony Parker fan in France, that this is how the Spurs operate. And he realizes now that he's had to go through this stretch for the third time in his third season, that it is a grind to make it into June. And it's probably best that you're not expending all that energy on both sides of the court. So yeah, if Wemby really wanted to put out real eye-popping numbers, I imagine he could. Maybe that even comes down the road one day. But at the moment, yeah, I think Wemby is the best player, despite what maybe some people might do in statistical dives.
Yeah, I think the best player has to get his other players involved. And I think he has to get, if he can get Harper in 4 or 5 of these games to really be, I mean, he's already played above his years, Harper. If he can get him to stay at that level or just a little bit higher, thanks to Wemby, I think this will suit the Spurs really well, because I expect Castle to throw the ball away every once in a while. He's going to be okay, but he's not going to be great. I think he has to try to protect the ball a little bit better, because the Knicks athletically will do the same thing as the Thunder did. If you turn that ball over to them, they're going to fast break and get down the court and do some things. But I think Harper is the guy who has to be really consistent night in and night out right now through the playoffs.
Harper is 100% the X factor. He is the guy off of the bench who really, it's hard to say this because you get into semantics or philosophical argument, but I thought he should have also received Sixth Man of the Year votes. Obviously, Kelly Johnson on the Spurs wins Sixth Man of the Year, but you have opportunity to say that there's two Sixth Man of the Year candidates on one team, because he has been the motor that made the Spurs second unit engine go all season long. He got a calf strain in the sixth game of the regular season, And it seemed like a big blow. A rookie, five games into his career, he's going to be out in definite amount of time. And you could tell that the Spurs missed his extra punch. So, yeah, you're spot on. I think that Dylan Harper is the X factor. And the three-headed point guard monster in San Antonio with Steph Castle, who, you know, he will have those we call them Manu Ginobili-like turnovers where you can see that he was going for the home run play. And while he was going for the deep ball, he missed that safety that was rotating right into the passing lane, right? And he'll have those occasionally. But all three of them, distributing the ball handling duties has really made the Spurs' dynamic offense go. And on top of having that lob threat of Victor Wembanyama, because he is somebody who demands attention at the rim, something that doesn't happen in NBA defenses is they gave up the corner three. So it's up to these point guards to find that corner three anytime that the defense collapses on Wimby when he's rolling hard to the basket.
Spurs Radio Network host Carl Schoening joining us here on Bucky and BK. A couple more for you, Carl, before we let you go. These teams played three times in the regular season. The Knicks went 2-1, including that victory in the NBA Cup. I'm sure the Spurs would trade that trophy for this one. But what did you see in those three games? Where did the Knicks kind of have the advantage? And what maybe worries you a little bit about this matchup for San Antonio? Because they dominated just about everybody else in the league. They didn't have losing records against too many teams. What did the Knicks do, and what can the Knicks do to make this thing interesting?
No excuses, really, but I think that one thing to look at in the NBA Cup matchup was the Spurs had been on the road something along the lines of 28 of 34 days by the time they had gotten to that Vegas final cup. So it had been a long stretch of games on the road for the Spurs in that sense. And the same thing was happening at that March 1st matchup. That was the end of their February rodeo road trip. They had won every game in February. They had just won in Brooklyn two days before. They had two off days in New York, and it was a noon start. I'm not saying that the Spurs maybe had a little bit of fun in New York, but I certainly would have. And, I don't want to throw out those games because they're important matchups, but all three of the matchups have been competitive. And I think that's what you want in an NBA Finals is a competitive matchup. And I don't necessarily think you can determine who's going to win in 5, 6, or 7 games, but I can tell you it's not going to be a sweep. This is going to be a lot of fun, competitive fourth quarters we're going to see in the NBA Finals. And what can I take away from those games? Mo Diawara and Jordan Clarkson both had really good games in supporting roles that I just don't necessarily see them getting the minutes to replicate that success. So those two wins, when you had two role players go off that aren't likely to be playing those kind of minutes in this NBA Finals, you sort of almost have to throw out the regular season. And that's one of the things that happens when you talk about teams only playing each other twice. All of the variables that go into, whether or not they should have won a regular season game sort of get thrown out the window, as opposed to when you're going up against conference opponents that you've seen 3 or 4 times.
Well, coaching matters. And I think I got to say the Knicks would have a slight edge. Young coach with the Spurs still learning, still getting involved, but the Knicks coach has been around for a while. It's not like this is his first rodeo. He's not some guy that just got a job. I mean, he's been in the NBA for quite a while.
Yeah, and Mike Brown's been a coach with the Spurs. He's been a coach under Pop. He even said that he was kind of pulling for the Spurs to win the championship. I didn't realize, or not the championship, the Western Conference Finals, because he has family still here. So he doesn't have to fly out his family to Oklahoma City. So this is a very familiar situation for Mike Brown. And yeah, you're right. In terms of coaching, he's been on plenty of championship teams, and Mitch Johnson and the young Spurs, they have sort of a saying, we don't know what's impossible because we're too young. And it's something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing here, but they don't understand what they're doing is unprecedented. So, they've thrown the experience argument out the window already, and I think they're going to continue to do that. I'm biased, obviously, but I have Spurs in 6, hopefully 5, so I can be here when they win it.
There you go.
We should end this on that because you gave the prediction, but you're such a professional, Carl, but I want you to put your professionalness to the side and just, you've been a Spurs fan your whole life. You've been around the franchise your whole life. How cool is it that, this early, you mentioned it in an earlier answer. It feels like this is only the beginning, right? The Spurs might go on another crazy run and you don't ever want to assume dynasty, but it feels like they've got the young pieces in place to go on a run similar to the one that the big three had. And obviously David Robinson at the start of that, Like, how cool is this that the Spurs have all of these things lined up to potentially do something really special, not only over the next 2 weeks, but maybe over the next two decades?
Yeah, it's amazingly cool, because before the dark years of, not too recent past, the Spurs only had five losing seasons as a franchise. And obviously one of those losing seasons led to Tim Duncan, and another one of those losing seasons led to David Robinson. And one of those losing seasons while David Robinson was away with the Navy led to Sean Elliott. And that started the dynasty in the 90s, if you will. So the Spurs have a rich history of being a franchise that just knows how to win and put together rosters and filled with people who are over themselves in terms of their ego. They check their ego at the door so they can accomplish things as a team. And you get that vibe that the Spurs culture has now been ingrained in every single one of these players, whether they were brought in this year or they've been here for a few years, or, you know, you look up and Keldon Johnson's the longest tenured Spur. And even though, once again, 2019 feels like it should be a little bit shorter of a time ago than it was, all these Spurs are finally excited that they're winning. And now that they've gotten a taste of it, I think that they're going to be determined to, no matter what happens in this series, come back to the finals as many times as they can. And Wimby said it the other day, he feels like he needs to win because his life depends on it. And when you have that kind of competitive edge, I don't think there are many people in the NBA over the last few years that would have anywhere near that kind of statement to the media. So when your head of the snake is doing that, saying those kind of things and backing it up on the court, then you're going to have a successful team for as long as he is healthy. And hopefully he stays healthy and gives us the almost promised greatest of all time argument career that he can go down with.
No doubt. Well, Carl, great stuff, man. We know you're running 1,000 miles an hour this week, so really appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time. Best of luck with everything you've got going on, and good luck to the Spurs, and thanks for the time. Hopefully we get to talk to you maybe after a parade in a couple of weeks.
Hey, I would love that. Yeah. Anytime. Y'all reach out, and if I can make it, I'll do it. I'm hoping to be up in New York, and that might be a little bit harder to sort out. But if I'm up there in New York and I can spare a few minutes, I'll happily hop on with y'all, so long as I can remember the time change stuff.
Thank you, Carl. The jet lag for the 1 hour change is crazy. I get you. Carl, you're the man. Thanks again.
Thank you, man.
All right. There he goes. Carl Schoening, who does a little bit of everything. Awesome. San Antonio Spurs Radio Network studio host, also a host on the Ticket 760 down there in the Alamo City. And look, when you're four wins away from an NBA championship, you don't think about, oh, how many times could we get back here? You're obviously locked in on winning these final four games. But, I mean, everybody knows how young Wemby and Castle and Dylan Harper and just everybody on this core for the Spurs. These guys, the fact that they won 62 games this early on, the fact that they're here in the NBA Finals this early on, leads you to believe that this could be the start of something very, very special and something very, very similar to what we saw the Spurs do just a couple of decades ago.
There's no doubt, because there'll be additions. There'll be additions and subtractions to that team. And some of the additions may be a couple of older players. Who knows? I mean, they've got a foundation right now that's fantastic, but you know how that Spurs management is. They're not done.
No, they're not done.
And Wimby thinks of it as life or death. So
it's crazy. Yeah. Hearing him talk the way he's talked about how much this means to him. I mean, he's not the only guy. This obviously means a lot to everybody playing in the finals. And these guys have been dedicating their whole life to get this opportunity. But to hear him say it the way that he does, again, a lot of superstars, especially in the NBA, are kind of too cool for school. And we work hard. Of course we want it. Like, to hear Wimby talk about it the way that he does, I mean, it means something to him. And he talks like a guy who's been in the NBA for 20 freaking years, and he's like in his early 40s just hoping to win one before he retires. I mean, this guy is desperate.
No, he will feel like that every time the season starts. That's the thing about him.
The emotion he's going to show. I mean, think about what he showed after beating Oklahoma City, the emotion he'll show if they win this series. Hell, if they lose this series. Either way, it's going to be emotional for Victor Wembanyama.
No doubt.
Again, you don't always see that with players of his caliber. So
no,
I do appreciate that from him. Game one tonight, 7:30. We'll talk more about the NBA Finals in the second hour of the program. But while we're on the subject, Buck,
Yes.
And you've got a gold star lock for the people. Now, before we get to tonight's game, we got to get to last night's game.
Dude, I was on top of the world 25 seconds into the hockey game. I'm like, yes.
What a game last night in the NHL. Please watch. If you're not watching the Stanley Cup final, you're doing yourself a disservice. And if you missed last night's game one in Carolina, you really did yourself a disservice. Vegas gets the win 5-4. You mentioned it. Carolina scored 25 seconds into the game. Then they jumped out to a 2-0 lead. The Lenovo Center was rocking. Vegas comes back with three unanswered to take a 3-2 lead. Then it was 3-3. Then it was 4-4. And with just over 3 minutes to go in the third period, Tomas Hertl scores the game-winning goal. Carolina had some great chances to get the equalizer with their net empty. They couldn't do it. And, well, more importantly for this show, it means 200,000 units lost.
Oh, my goodness. I was almost licking my chicken when it was 2-0 because Carolina was knocking them all over the boards. And then all of a sudden, Vegas was standing in front of the net without anybody on them. It was like, no, this is our net. Your defenders aren't moving us from our spots. Boy, they kept getting in front of the net, and the goalkeeper had no help. Because Vegas, their big guys were playing big there. And BK, and that didn't – it wasn't like it started in the third period or the second period. It started, you know, after it was 2-0, it started to be – Vegas said, you know what, we're going to control the nets on both sides. And they did.
They turned it on. Yeah, they scored one towards the end of the first period. So it was only 2-1 going into the locker room at intermission. And then they scored two pretty early in the second period to take the lead. Turnovers. Both teams looked a little sloppy. Both teams looked a little jittery. Maybe you understand game one with everything that's on the line, playing for the best trophy in sports. Yeah, some uncharacteristic mistakes, especially by Carolina. And, you know, licking your chickens, here's a kind of crazy stat. Vegas is the first team since 2016 to win game one of the Stanley Cup final on the road. A decade since that's happened. The crazier stat, road teams were 0-55 when down multiple goals in game one of the Stanley Cup final. 0-55 going into Tuesday, and now it's 1-55. That's the power.
I can change the stats, can I?
That's what I was going to say. That's the power of you right there, sir. You can make history with your gold star locks. So you lose 200,000 units, and Carolina loses game one. Game two on the ice tomorrow in the Stanley Cup final back in Raleigh, but obviously game one of the NBA finals tonight. I love that you've got, you know, a championship game every single night between these two sports. It's spectacular theater.
What's the line tonight?
In San Antonio, the Spurs are 4.5-point home.
Oh, here we go. The old half. Huh?
The NBA always has the half, Buck. I don't make the rules here.
Okay, I'll take the Spurs for a 100,000 unit play.
Oof.
Yes.
Sorry,
Spurs are going to come out flying. How tired will they be after going seven games? They've had enough rest. They're young. It's a young group.
Here's our guy Steven saying, please put units on the Knicks, Buck. We're glad you changed your pick last Friday. Hey, y'all should be thanking me, not the Buck. I'm the guy who convinced him to change his pick. I'm the reason the Spurs beat the Thunder in game seven.
No, that's not true. I was taking the Spurs anyway. Remember, I was going to take the Spurs.
Right. And if you did, they would have lost. That's the point.
No, they're winning tonight. I'll take 100,000 to play on them. Game one. At home,
the Knicks, that place is going to be rocking. Game one road victory.
Boy, it was rocking in Carolina yesterday. I'm like, 25 seconds in, I'm like, cakewalk. Let it thunder. Let it lightning. 2-0, I should have gone right to bed, but I should have known that those Carolinians would punk out. Really. None of them from Carolina, by the way.
No, there aren't a lot of NHL players from Carolina, North standing or South.
In front of the net. Vegas was standing there with their shields on, with their Golden Knights shields on, just pushing guys out of the way.
For the record, I don't know how many Golden Knights are from Vegas either, okay? Or Henderson or Reno or the surrounding areas. So,
no.
Yeah, not the two biggest hockey towns in the country.
100,000 units on the Spurs.
All right, 100,000 units. You know, part of me wants to ask for a gold star lock for this Texas Tech softball game, but I like my alma mater too much to have it be risked on one of your unit plays.
I wouldn't even say the word Texas Tech when it comes to Texas Tech, Oklahoma, or A&M when it comes to that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to the Horns or for the Horns right there.
Thank you.
Don't even want to take that chance.
I'd love for you.
They can do it themselves.
I'd love for you to put like a million units on Texas Tech in all of these games here. I'd feel I feel good about the Longhorns' chances for the record, but I'd feel better if you would do something like that.
No, I you know, as much as their starting pitcher for them is really good, I think she's a lefty that pitches for Texas Tech. Man, she throws some heaters in there now.
Which one? Kennedy?
No, the other one. I think she's a left-hander.
Oh, Caitlin Terry.
Yeah, she can fire it, man, for a little girl. She really hums it.
Yeah, well, funny enough. I mean, Nyjah Kennedy's their best pitcher. She's their ace, but Caitlin Terry actually had a lower ERA this season than Kennedy did. Now, every other stat, Kennedy's better. Strikeouts, whip, batting average against, all of those things. But ERA, in terms of just runs given up, earned runs given up, Caitlin Terry, a little bit better than Nyjah Kennedy. So it's
yeah, when Kennedy's in there as a batter, I always like their coaches just reaching when she comes in the bat. I'm always like laughing. Last year she hit pretty well. This year, not so much. Like, bring her in as a batter, coach, please. She looks horrible at the plate.
Yeah, leave that one.
She's on the mound. She is a stud on the mound, though. Wow.
She is a stud. Yeah, game one of that tonight as well. All right, we'll take your thoughts. So the Bucks got 100,000 units on the Spurs, -4.5. We'll obviously recap game one tomorrow. We'll get into a little bit more NBA Finals conversation as the show goes along. Coming up next, Colin Simmons perhaps giving some bulletin board material to Ohio State. We'll read you his quote coming up. But before we get into a little Longhorn football chatter, how about some sponsor shout-outs?
Shout out friends over at Sue Patrick with the incredible selection of Longhorn apparel, collectibles, and they've got everything you look, tons of Texas-themed items and gifts, books, and a whole wide variety of men's and women's clothing in all sizes. Hats galore, BK. I went with the little off-burn orange right here today. But Sue Patrick offers free shipping on online orders, $59 or more, free curbside pickup, and plenty of parking area there at 5222 Burnett Road. Once again, Dad does matter. You got new polos for golf there for Dad. You know, they got quarter-length zip. What are those? What do you call those? The little zip deals. Jay's got some new one of those. They're long sleeve, but they're lightweight. They're, you know, if you're going out in the evening, well, not in the evenings around here, but if you're somewhere else, if you're leaving town on vacation, you may want to take those Longhorn gear with you, because it is hot around this place in the evenings. Anything long sleeves is not going to work for you. But they have got it all. They've got shoes. They've got women's sneakers there available for you. All the ladies' gear is in for the summer. And the Jellycat headquarters, of course. But as I said, plenty of parking. Go down and say hello to the whole gang. Luggage, they've got it. If you're getting ready to leave town, they've got the luggage available for you also. For more information, please go to SuePatrick.com. 50 years in Central Texas, Sue Patrick.
Yes, indeed. Love Sue Patrick. Also love McCall Custom Homes. They've been around Central Texas for a long time, too. About more than four decades of experience for the McCall boys. They are custom home builders and remodelers here in Central Texas. So if you want to build a home from scratch, or if you want to upgrade your current space, reach out to these guys. Kitchen remodels, bathroom renovations. Maybe you want to add some new life to your outdoor space. The Buck got a putting green installed on his property from McCall Custom Homes. Seriously, they can do anything and everything. It's why they're A-plus rated by the BBB. It's why they've got so many five-star reviews online. And again, it's why they've been around as long as they have. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. Go there, check out the gallery of projects they've done over the years. Maybe get some ideas for your place, and then reach out to Mike. 512-633-9580. That's 633-9580. Mike's a great friend of both of ours, big listener of the show, big Longhorn fan. Reach out to him and the great team at McCall Custom Homes. It's McCall Custom Homes. We'll build value into your home.
Our good friends over at Woods Comfort Systems, 70 years in Central Texas, folks. air conditioning, heating, and now they do plumbing. Trust them to anything that happened maybe overnight, maybe some water got into some spots that it shouldn't have got into last night after all the rains. Call on Woods Comfort Systems. Their trucks and their technicians will get to you immediately. They come out to my house twice a year, but right now you're really caring about that air conditioning system. You want that thing working properly. It's going to be starting to get a little bit warm around here. Even next week, high 80s and low 90s. That's warm for BK. He's not used to that 100-degree temperature like the Bucks. So if you want to make sure your air conditioning is working properly, call on the folks at Woods Comfort Systems. Woods Comfort Systems, nobody does it better.
I'm very used to those temps, but I do hate those temps. Doesn't matter how long I live here. Doesn't matter how old I get. I will never be fond of the triple-digit days like some of you people out there. I don't get it. WoodsComfortSystems.com, though. That's why you have AC in this state. They'll make sure that one's working the way that you want.
Absolutely.
512-842-5066. And some love to Sleep Cycle Center, our guy, Dr. Chad. If you are a snorer, if your partner is a snorer, you got a roommate who's a snorer, whatever, get those problems taken care of. It's not just annoying to you or the person sleeping next to you. It can be a serious health risk. Undiagnosed sleep apnea is a major problem. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. And again, it's not just, well, I feel a little tired or, oh, I'm a little loud when I sleep. This is something that could take your life. NFL Hall of Famer Reggie White lost his life in his sleep due to undiagnosed sleep apnea. Not trying to fear monger here. I'm just trying to make sure this doesn't happen to you or somebody you know, because it absolutely can happen. Get your sleeping problems taken care of. Free consultation. You mentioned this show, you're going to get $100 off an at-home sleep study. Go see our guy, Dr. Chad, sleepcyclecenters.com. That's the website to schedule a free consultation. Two Austin area locations, one up north, 183 and Breaker, the other in Lakeway off of 620. Sleep Cycle Center.